I have to tell you that I have all the interior decorating sensibilities of a rhinoceros. I look around my surroundings and I see utility. I see just what needs to be there. I rarely see the aesthetics around me. And this is very true the very first time I stepped into this sanctuary. I did not compute the beautiful hand-quilted banners that are hanging. All I saw were six representations of the six great ends of the church. Boy, doesn't that excite you? The six great ends are actually the vision, our ministry, our calling, our vocation of what we're supposed to do as every congregation and every individual. These were first adopted in 1910 by the incarnation of the Presbyterian Church, and we've doggedly hung on to them since then. Each of the six great ends is represented by each one of our banners. And they simply are, just cut them to the bone, the six great ends are what we are supposed to do with our faith in Jesus Christ. Here's what we're supposed to do with our faith. And the Holy Spirit is guiding us in each step of the way. In everything we do, the Holy Spirit is with us, guiding our collective life as a church and guiding us as individuals. Now, seeing myself surrounded by the six great ends of the church, as soon as I got here, I said to several people, thank you, Dave. Yes, please hand them out. Dave has and the ushers, and Dave each have the six great ends written out. So if you would just hand them out as I talk. Now, as I see the six great ends and I'm surrounded by them, I said to several people, I got to preach them. I got to preach the six great ends. And every one of those people, every one to a person said, well, Pastor Bill just preached them. Now, I didn't say anything, but that pouty lip came out. Well, I didn't say it out loud. I thought this. Well, if Pastor Bill preached them. But then the argument started, the debate. I shouldn't say argument. The debate started. When did Pastor Bill preach them? Well, it was several years ago. Well, it was back in '08. He just preached them recently. So I got to thinking, if the past glories of Pastor Bill's preaching were not immediately recalled, and the future glory of Pastor Steve's preaching really isn't anticipated, I'm going to save the six great ends for Pastor Jeff to preach. But I am a grown-up. I am a pastor. And I actually did start listening as a pastor to what the people around me were saying. We love our banners. They add such color. They add vibrancy to our sanctuary. The quilters did a fantastic job. Several people even said, these are our stained glass windows. I like that a lot. These are the stained glass windows of our church, just as sure as the glass and leaded windows in St. Patrick Cathedral as a part of who they are and their identity. We don't need to explain about them or talk about them or preach them any more than we have to preach about the pulpit or the communion table. They're just part of who we are, just part of our essence as a community. Now, having said that, I'm going to go ahead and preach about this banner over here, this one at the end, with the hands reaching up to the world, the heavenly spirit coming down. This represents the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God. This is what we're all about today as a church family. We will promise, we will make covenant, that strong word of holy promise, everlasting promise, unconditional promise. We are about to promise to shelter Luke Lee as he enters into baptism. We are affirming that this is his shelter, his home in faith. We covenant with him and his family and his sponsors to nurture him, to grow him in his faith in Jesus Christ. We covenant to enter into spiritual fellowship with him. He's one of us, and he will always be one of us. We're going to make those same promises then a few minutes later as we ordain Sarah Boatwright. We will spiritually shelter Sarah and her family in this next step of the way. We will nurture her as she enters into becoming a lay pastor. We will continue in fellowship, in relationship with her and her family, come what may. It is just isn't for today to shelter, to nurture, to bring fellowship. We live out this fellowship and the shelter and nurture every day. Think Awana. Think women's ministries, Russia ministry, coffee fellowship, quilting, on and on in the abundant life of Covenant Church. Remember this guy? It's just chock full of the abundant ways that we shelter, nurture, and do fellowship. It's single-spaced all the way around. The family, this family of God, has always lived into abundance with each other. Yeah, amen. This family of God, for those who are visiting today, this church actually started all the way across the field over there at Rampart Church, at Rampart School. Every Sunday, bring a bus trailer, set up, do church, unset it, go back on our way. Then we moved into the family room. This part wasn't built yet. We moved into the family room and we sheltered and we nurtured and had fellowship. Then we come into this sanctuary, surrounded by our stained glass reminders of who we are and what we're supposed to do. And where would we be without the everlasting support of all those who have come before us? Where would we be without so many people? You know, I joke around a lot that I had the nuns growing up when I was in elementary school. But where would I be without them? Where would my faith life be without them? I kvetch a lot about seminary professors and former pastors and all of that. But where would we be without the support and nurture and fellowship as we muddle along through life together? And it's always been this way. Now we're finally going to jump into our scriptures. Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 28. Now there came to Ephesus a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria. He was an eloquent man, well-versed in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with burning enthusiasm, and he taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John the Baptist. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained the way of God to him more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the believers encouraged him and wrote the disciples to welcome him. On his arrival, he greatly helped those who through grace had become believers, for he powerfully refuted the Jews, the enemies of the church, in public, showing by the scriptures that Jesus is Messiah. See the ripples there. Priscilla and Aquila are brought into faith very, very early in the church's life in Rome. They're in Rome. Someone whose name we don't know, who's lost in history, brings Priscilla and Aquila to the faith. But because of their faith, they are exiled from Rome. They are thrown out of Rome, and they go to Corinth. In Corinth, they meet up with the Apostle Paul. Except they don't meet him at church. They meet him at the marketplace where they're looking for work, and he brings them in to work with him as sail makers and tent makers. From there, they go on to become the pastors of the First Presbyterian Church of Corinth. Priscilla and Aquila then go with Paul to Ephesus. From Ephesus, they make their way back to Rome, where they became pastors of the church in Rome after originally leaving that congregation several years before. I wink at you at our irony of calling Pastor Jeff. It's happened before. Priscilla and Aquila are some of the very first Christians ever in Europe. But where would they have been without the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of that person who's lost in history, or those people who are lost in history, or the Apostle Paul? Where would the people of Corinth and Ephesus and Rome be without Priscilla and Aquila? Apollos is on fire with the Lord. He is an almighty preacher. Several places in the scriptures tell us what a terrific preacher he is. But where would he have been without a Priscilla and Aquila helping him to understand the faith? And then he becomes the pastor of the First Presbyterian Church in Corinth. Then he goes to Achaia. And where would all of those people be without Apollos, without all those people who have come before us? From hence, where would our covenant church abundance come from without Pastor Pat and Pastor Bill and Anna Fish and Pastor Jeff, Pastor Stephen, Gabriel, Rebecca, Pastor Kathy, and Pastor Steve, just to name a few, a very few. Thank God for those people. But, this is the big major, however, the psalmist asks, from hence does our salvation come? Early on in Corinth, Paul asked that same question. Is Apollos, is Paul, or Aquila? No. It's in Christ alone. Let's go to chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians 5 through 9. Paul asks, what then is Apollos? What then is Paul? Servants, slaves, through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, absolutely. And each will receive a wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants. We are God's slaves, working together. And you are God's field. You are God's building. So then I have to ask, what then are Pastors Steve and Kathy? What then are Pastors Bill and Pat? What is Pastor Jeff? Servants, slaves of him who first called us into the marvelous light. Slaves whose job, whose calling, whose vocation is the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God. We are servants of Jesus Christ, all of us, who have, who do, and will continue to do our very best, best to our God-given abilities, best to our talents, our limitations. None perfect, but each slaves for Christ, doing what God has assigned to each. Pat watered, Pat planted, Bill watered, Kathy cultivated, Steve did some hoeing, and God has given you the growth. God has made this a shelter, a place, a home for so many. God has nurtured us, grown us up in the faith, taken care of us in the faith, and has given us spiritual fellowship. I'll deny it. Turn off the thing, would you, Tom? Because I'm about to deny what I'm about to say. I hold fellowship as high, nearly as high as sacrament. To me, fellowship is sacramental. It is holy. It is blessed. And that's who we are. We are people who have been blessed and do bless with the shelter. This is our home, our nurture. This is, we grow each other. And our fellowship, just hanging out together, being together. And Pastor Jeff's going to do all this that we promised this day for Luke and for Sarah. But it's not just his job alone. All of us have the common purpose of building each other up, giving each other shelter, taking care of each other, being with each other. And we do this so that they can come to know Jesus Christ and bring about the kingdom of God. It's time to It's time to stop just talking about it. It's time to live it out once more. We begin with these great words of assurance from the Apostle Peter. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are God's own people, a holy nation, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of the one who has called you out of darkness into God's marvelous light. That's who you are.